a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
As the secretary calls the roll, that will be an indication that you're on the meeting.
Representative Bruner.
Here.
Representative Frerichs.
Here.
Representative Gibson.
Here.
Representative Hoffman.
Here.
Representative Lucas.
Here.
Representative Shrimp. Representative Tiedemann.
Here.
Senator Bradford.
Here.
Senator Frisley.
Here.
Senator Klocek.
Here.
Senator Rodin.
Here.
Representative Vanneman.
Here.
Senator Hansen.
Here.
We have a quorum.
We do have a quorum. We need to ask for a motion to approve the minutes from the last meeting, the August 24th meeting.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Gibson, I move approval of the meeting as printed.
For a second.
Representative Hoffman makes a second on that motion.
Okay, motion made by Gibson, second by Hoffman. All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Anyone opposed? Minutes are approved. A couple comments from the chair. I think that I thank you all for taking the time to get on a phone and take part in this meeting. I would hope that things would move along fairly orderly, and I would hope that you have all had a chance to go through the pages of the revisions that have been sent out. And before we actually get into that in just a little bit, I will first of all ask, I assume Secretary Perner is present, and if so, get his comments to verify his comfort level with the fact that there's an awful lot of pages here and some fairly technical stuff, and I want for him to be satisfied that there's no substantive changes, as well as for each of you, because as the plan is that when we approve whatever we approve to carry forward, that the next step will be to bring it to the legislature. Now, also one of the first orders of business that I want to address will be to accept the version of this draft that would be the latest version. You all got a letter, I think it was dated 13th of October, with some supplemental changes, most of them just typographical grammar changes, but we want to be sure that we're all dealing from the same version that the
Dean Trump.
Oh, John, you're muted.
Thank you, Dean. I believe we now have everyone here. And with that, I would offer Representative Vanneman any remarks that you'd like to make prior to getting into the meat of our agenda.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is Representative Vanneman. I'd just like to take a couple minutes and thank Secretary Perner and his staff for all the work and providing all this information for us, and look forward to hearing his comments through this massive bill that we've got to look through. I'd also like to thank the public for the public testimony that we had at our last meeting. It's always good to hear the concerns and the successes of the department and in these agencies' reviews. I'd like to thank the committee for the work that they've done, and especially for today being on the conference call and working through this bill. And I look forward to getting through that and moving forward. So thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Representative Vanneman. Just for the sake of knowing who do we have present on the in the room, in position to be able to, I'm looking for if Secretary Perner is present, and also who do we have from staff?
Chairman, Senator Hansen, this is Secretary Steve Parr from the Department of Environment and Natural Resources. With me in the room here, I have Joan Ananichek, our staff attorney, who has worked primarily with LRC staff and the Office of Attorney General on the bill. We've also got the our two division directors, Tim Talzer and Dave Templeton, and they've brought most of their program administrators who talked or made presentations to the committee during your first meeting.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Secretary. Let's see, do we have Ms. Meganes with us?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I'm here also from LRC as Aaron and Lisa and Fred Botts.
Okay, as I mentioned in my comments, the first thing that I want to do is have a motion to accept the draft that would be the one that was updated on October 13th, and so then we'll proceed there. Is there, do we have a motion to?
Larry, Representative Lucas, I would make a motion that we accept the revisions in the draft that was emailed and hard mailed out on October 13th.
We have a second.
Senator Larry Roden, I have a question for the chair.
Go ahead, Senator.
Senator Hansen, could you clarify, you want a motion to accept the revisions. What does that mean? I mean, are the revisions before we take a motion to accept them?
Yes. Several of these were just, typing errors and... like one was the word count instead of counties, and I want to be sure that we're all working off of the same draft. I guess to clarify your question, Senator Roden, this is not a motion to adopt the draft as what we want to take forward to the legislature.
Senator Hansen, Representative Gibson, do we need a motion on this matter?
Oh, I wouldn't say that we absolutely need one, but I think it would be good business to be sure that we're all working off of the same piece of paper.
I mean, can't you just ask us if we received the revisions and as to form and substance without a motion?
Well, I know that you all received them. Do we have a second to Representative Lucas's motion?
Senator Ive Frisley will second that.
Okay. We have a motion by Lucas, seconded by Frisley, to agree that we're working off of the draft that was changed as of October 13th. All in favor of that motion, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, let's move forward. Now, the agenda that we have, I'm going to ask Secretary Perner to make his comments first with regard to anything that, if there's anything that he has any discomfort with, or and then we'll go to LRC staff. So, Secretary Perner, I would turn the floor over to you.
Senator Hansen, this is Steve Perner, Secretary of the Department of Environment and Natural Resources. I want to thank both the LRC staff and the committee for working with the department on this draft that you have in front of you now. DENR is comfortable with this draft. There have been extensive discussions between Joan Ananichek, our staff attorney, LRC staff, the Office of Attorney General. All of those discussions were had one goal in mind, and that was to make sure that the bill was not making any substantive changes to the law, simply that the bill is a cleanup effort, and it will bring up the language in our statutes to the current level that our LRC works with on their new legislation. So consequently, DNR is comfortable at this point with the draft bill. I would ask Joanna Nijek, do you have any additional comments that you want to make to the committee?
Thank you, Secretary Perner. You've stated it very well, and I know we deal in a complicated area of the law, and it is also our goal to make our statutes as clear and readable as they can be. And I commend Tom Magadance for his very fine effort and very thorough effort in this area. Thank you.
I don't know if anybody else is struggling, but I would request that the people that are there up here, if they can get closer to the microphone, I can hear the people that are on the conference call, right, but it's been a little more difficult hearing Secretary Perner.
Thank you, Senator. I'm glad you mentioned that because I was noticing that, and apparently it's not something that's just resident to my phone, so... yes, please be very conscious of speaking into the microphone. Well, if there's no further comments from DNR staff, I would ask for comments from the author.
Mr. Chairman, this is Tom Magadance. I'd like to reiterate what Joe Nanichek and Secretary Perner said. We worked closely with the department and appreciated their efforts and their willingness to work with us on this. The draft that we're working on is the one that we sent you on October 1st, plus the short set of amendments that you just added by motion that was based on the October 13th email that was sent out, and that's so the pages and line numbers are all based on that draft. There are a few more.
Excuse me, Tom. I'm still having a little bit of, you know, you're really fading in and out, and maybe it's something to do with the telephone
company. Yeah, I don't know. I'm pretty close to the mic here, so I'll see what I can do. There are a few more changes that I've found in the last, basically over the weekend. They are pretty minor in my mind, and we will share them with the department. I can go over them if you would like, or I guess that's up to you. I can go over them page and line if you would wish.
Why don't you go ahead and do that, Tom?
Okay, I think that's probably the easiest. It won't take that long. If someone has a question on it or disagrees with what I'm saying, go ahead and chime in now, and then when I get through with this group, then the committee could take action on that. Could take action on that set of adjustments, and then afterwards you can discuss and take final action on the bill. So I would start at on page 6, line 19. The sentence doesn't really read correctly there. I would like to overstrike the word programs on line 19, so it would read, establish and thereafter administer within its jurisdiction an air pollution control program which provides by ordinance, etc. Right now the word programs in there makes the sentence so on page 6, line 19, overstrike programs.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
This is Larry Tiedemann. As long as we're on page 6, if you go up to line 2, Tom, it says, if the variance is granted on the ground, should that be ground or grounds?
I think it's okay either way.
Okay.
I think that's acceptable.
No problem.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead, Tom.
Okay, the next thing I have is on page 8, on lines 9 and 10. I think I explained in the previous meeting that we don't need to repeat the plural. We can just use singular, and here's one where we missed. It says person or persons, so I would like to revise this to say effective immediately on service upon the person responsible.
Tom, I can't hear you.
I can hear it.
Okay. On page 8, line 9 and 10, we would overstrike or persons because we want this to be singular. And so it would read, is effective immediately on service upon the person responsible for the emission, comma, and any person to whom such an order is directed shall comply.
Okay.
Are you hearing me any better?
Yeah, much better.
Okay.
Could you repeat that one, please, Mr. Megadance?
Yes. Okay, on page 8, on line 9, after upon, insert the and overstrike or persons. And so it would read, is effective immediately on service upon the person responsible for the emission. And that's because we only need to speak in the singular or write in the singular. The next one I have is very simple on page 11 on lines 17, 18, and 20. In LRC, when we have a number of items in a series and then separated, the last item either has or and in front of it, we put a comma after that second to last item. So on line 17, it would be detrimental, comma, or injurious. On line 18, it would be safety, comma, or welfare. And then on line 20, it would be fish, comma, or other aquatic wildlife. So just adding those commas in those series.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so the next one is on the exact same thing on page 27, lines 5 and 7. There are three commas that we would add in series. So it would be on line 5, it would be semi-solid, comma, or liquid. And line 7, it would be primary, secondary, comma, or advanced wastewater treatment. And then pumpings, comma. On page 34, line 16, we need to capitalize the word federal. So it says Federal Safe Drinking Water Act. Minor change, but like that. The same thing on page 37, line 3, and line 17, Federal Safe Drinking Water Act. In both places, we would capitalize federal. Page 45, on line 17, we would overstrike said and replace it with the. So instead of said district, it says the district, and this is what we do routinely. It's just one that was missed. On page 62, a typo on line 13, there are two periods at the end of the sentence, and I need to delete one of those. The next thing I have is on page 63, and this is a typo that I need to explain a little bit. It's on page 63, line 11. It's an order to be served personally by mail upon the alleged violator or his agent, and or his agent is underlined. What was intended there is that be overstruck rather than underlined. the existing statute has the words "or his agent" in it. My first impulse is to overstrike that. Now, I do want to check this with Ruben. He's out of town for another couple of weeks. Normally, when we talk about the secretary or his designee or the secretary or his appointed representative, something like that, we take it out because of agency law. It's already covered. In this case, we're not talking about a government official who has a subordinate that he can give orders to. In this case, we're talking about the alleged violator or his agent. I think that the same principle of law probably applies, and I would like to delete "or his agent," but I would like to check that with Ruben before I do that. If we go the other way and keep it in, we would take out "his" and make it read "or the alleged violator's agent." But if, with your permission, I'd like to get Ruben's judgment on that one before we do a final.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. On page 64, the department found something that's not in the bill that probably should be added. It's in a section of definitions. Section 34A-12-1, subdivision 8, it defines regulated substance, and there's a long list of federal statutes that define various kinds of regulated substances. We need to add a date certain to those federal statutes in other words, we'll, as we do in other parts of the bill, we say it's as amended to January 1st, 2011. We do that in many other parts of the bill. This is just one that we found in the code that we had missed, and so we would add that subdivision to the bill and amend it with those dates. It's not in the bill now. It would be inserted in between lines 17 and 18.
Okay.
Just based on the where that section fits in the codified laws, we try to keep those in numerical order. So it would be in between section 151 and 152.
I have a question, Senator Bradford. In that, on line 14, it says, the underlying new says, a form required by the count.
Yeah.
Municipal treasurer. Should that be county?
Yeah, it should. That's one that was caught in the October 13th email that we voted on at the beginning of the meeting. So you're right, Ben, and we did correct that. The next thing I have is on page 71, the first line, I don't think reads correctly. I would like to say defective or erroneous to do the overstrikes to make it read that way. So it's subdivision 1 believes that the original certificate was defective or erroneous.
Okay.
On page 75, line 2, I think after the overstruck therefrom, we need to add "from the mining claim" so that it would read, without a ditch, cut, or flume to convey water to the mining claim or water and tailings from the mining claim. It parallels what we did in the first line there.
Representative Larry Lucas, what's a flume?
I believe it's a wooden structure that carries water down a mountain. And that's about as much as I know about mining.
So that was from the mining days.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, the next one I have, okay, on page 81, the last line 24, we need to overstrike "but not limited to." This is something, again, that we routinely do. We don't say "including but not limited to." So it would read "community services including schools, law enforcement, and fire protection, etc." We would overstrike "but not limited to," comma.
Okay.
Okay.
Line 94, I think this is one of those sentences that is not, page 94, line 7. To just clarify the sentence a little bit, I would like to add "and" in front of the word "if" on line 7, and then put a comma before the secretary. So the entire sentence would read, "The board may also require the filing free of charge of samples and core chips of complete cores if taken and if requested with the secretary within 6 months after the completion." The next one is page 111, line 20. The word "be" needs to be overstruck. It used to read "shall be," and now it reads "is not," and we didn't get the word "be" overstruck. So it would read, "personal service of a summons and complaint is not required but may be made." Yeah, the word "be" in between "not" and "required" should be struck.
What page are we on now?
Page 111. Line 20.
Senator Bradford, can you go back to 94?
94.
And when you change that to "or if requested," does that mean that if they're not taken, then it can't be requested? Is that?
I think that's correct. I think that the first condition there is that the samples had to have been taken in order to be.
I thought those core samples. I don't know. I just thought.
Excuse me for just a second. Representative Adaman, you want to take over the chair for a bit?
Okay. Well, if you think it's okay, well, I'm okay with it. It looked funny to me that.
Yeah, I would double check this with the department as well before we finalize the bill. But this sentence reads a little. I struggled with this sentence, I'd have to confess. But
okay. Thanks.
Okay. The next one that I have is page 121. Oh, this is a situation where we had a number of items in a series, but within each item in the series there were commas, so we need to separate the major parts of the series by semicolons so that you can keep track of where the various things fit. And on line 14, we would put a semicolon before the right at the beginning, and also in the middle after bonds, just make sure that we know where the series contents are divided. The next thing I have on page 130, line 1, this is one where we just need to write in the singular. It says enter into a contract or contracts. We would overstrike "or contracts." Okay, the next one I have is on page 132. This happens two or three times. This has to do with the form of a petition that people sign. On line 2, page 132, we need to insert the word "and" so that sentence would read, "The petition may contain more than one page, and each page shall have identical headings," period. This happens two or three times, and I'll just note that as we get to them. The next one is on page 133, line 18, same
thing.
Yeah.
This is Representative Manaman.
Yeah.
Back on page 130,
Larry Roden.
Okay.
You said the word "contracts," plural. Do you want that?
No, we would overstrike or contracts. So it would say enter into a contract with the United States of America.
Okay, but I'm down on line 12.
Okay, I could have missed that.
Before the implementation, the contracts, and that's plural. Do you want that?
It also happens on line 10 as I look at that. Okay, that is in a different section from the where we made the change up above. Let me see how it is. Yeah, I think that this is okay as it is. This is a separate section, and this it didn't say contract or contracts. It just said may enter into contracts with the United States, which we could change it to say contract. What I want to get away from is contract or contracts. I think I would leave the stuff in section 320 as is.
Okay. Because I just seen on the one part on line 8, you did change it to no such contract, but
yeah,
yeah. That's fine.
But I think it's correct grammatically. And
okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Representative, this is Senator Hanson. I'm back. A comment on the line 2, page 32. You would also want to eliminate that comma, then, wouldn't you, after the word page?
No, I think we can keep the comma there because it separates two independent clauses. They're short enough where you can get by without it. I think it works either way.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. And then page 133 is the same change on line 18. Page 136, line 3, the same change. And also, to make it uniform, we would start a new sentence in the middle there that says any number of identical petition forms, but to make it the same as the previous examples. Okay, page 140, lines 2 and 3, there's a little more to this change. But I think I'd like to clarify that also this is one where it says county or counties, and we would like to say individual counties. So the way I would like this to read, enter upon the records of the board and file in the office of the auditor of each county in which the district is located a statement of the results. Are there any questions on that?
Okay.
Page 143, there is just a word left out on line 20. That's page 143, line 20. Where it says thereof, we replace thereof with such lands, and it should say of such lands. So I need to add the word of before such.
Okay,
on page 145, line 8, now this is one where we don't use shall with a negative. It currently says and shall proceed no further in the matter. We would like to say may proceed no further in the matter. And then again, that's our standard drafting procedure. It raises questions sometimes, but that's what we do.
Okay. Go ahead.
Page 148. Again, there's a missing word on line 5 where it says the resolution shall describe lands so that the boundaries. We would like to put in the after the overstruck such, so the resolution shall describe the lands so that the boundaries of the lands can be easily traced. Also on that same page, on line 19, it says if the resolution or resolutions provide, we would change it, we would overstrike or resolutions provide and make it read, or if the resolution provides. Okay, similar on page 149, line 11,
overstrike or resolutions, and we also need, I think, the word by in front of that to clarify. So it would say by the resolution authorizing the issuance of the outstanding bonds. Okay, page 161. I think we need the word and on line 11. We need the word and in front of the underlined contract. So, okay, what's going on here, this is another long series of things that the district may do. And the last one is contract for the construction of necessary ditches. So we need the word and before that last item. I'm down to about three. On page 187, line 7, it says except such water users association, we overstruck such. We need to add the word the to replace such. And that's just an oversight. So on 187, line 7, add the word the after such.
Okay.
Page 206. I think that the sentence in the middle of the page on line 12 is confusing. Right now it says if the territory comprised within is within a single county, the governing board, etc. I would like to overstrike comprised within and add included within the district so that it reads like this. If the territory included within the district is within a single county, the governing board is chosen by the county commissioners. Okay, and the last one I have is on page 213, line 13. Again, the word such should be overstruck and replaced with the word the, so that relative to all benefits and damages that will result from the improvement, rather than such improvement. I apologize that I could not get these to you ahead of time in email form. We had something in my family. I was with my parents in the hospital all weekend, and so I did this last night. But these are the changes that I suggest. I think they're all quite minor. If the department has any questions on them, we'll definitely make sure that they're squared away with that. But I guess what I would suggest is if no one has discussion on those particular changes, to do another motion to amend the draft with those changes, and then separate discussion later on if there are other things that you want to discuss.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Tom. And I think that's a good suggestion that we have a motion to accept the draft now as further amended before we go into the final debate over the issue. So,
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Senator Bradford, I make a motion. We accept.
Okay, moved by Bradford. We have a second.
Senator Frisley seconds that motion.
Who seconded?
Senator Art Frisley.
Okay, thank you. All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Okay, that motion is carried. I believe, Mr. Magadens, while you're at the mic, nearly all of the modifications are really fairly easy to see what it is that's being changed, with the exception of towards the end. Let's see, there was a very lengthy a section that is overstruck on page 205, and then a pretty lengthy restating of those things. And maybe it would be worthy of just a few comments as to, okay, what, you know, what is this that we're addressing? There's the similar instance on page 207 with regard to section 507. I think I'm able to, and I'll follow that clearly through, but it's pretty lengthy, and so it might be worthy of just a little bit of comment.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I struggled with those three sections. I think those are the only three in the bill where we just had to sit down and start from scratch. These are old statutes that just, to me, were not very readable. I know that the department has reviewed them, and others have reviewed them, and hopefully they're in good shape, but it was my attempt to try and rewrite what was there in a more understandable way. Is there a specific question on the on the content of it?
Well, I guess that comment, together with Secretary Perner and folks on his staff and the department, also acknowledging that there's nothing of substance that's being changed. And I know that you had mentioned earlier a couple instances where a section went on one great big long sentence for a long time, and these are the things that you've addressed. And I want to compliment you on the work that you've done here, because we have the benefit of being able to see the change that has been made, but just to look at it sentence by sentence and paragraph by paragraph and scope out those things that, where words can be eliminated and replaced has to have been a gigantic job, and I appreciate your effort.
Well, thanks. I kind of look at it as sort of like painting a room. It's not art, but it can be a little relaxing sometimes, or a little bit different task. For these long ones, I did the best I could to rewrite them. I don't like to rewrite entire sections. I like to keep as much original language as we can, but I think that these are accurately restate what was in the original statute.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Senator Bradford, I wondered, are we ready for comments, or should we vote on my motion?
That's right.
Your motion passed.
If we are done with my motion, then I have a comment.
Go ahead and make your comment.
All right. On page 101, line 14, we have taken out his authorized agent. I'm wondering if this was in there. And I look at it as if something, say the chief engineer is sick, unavailable, or in some cases not around, does this completely eliminate this happening, or would there be somebody else? I assume that was put in there in case of a situation where somebody, because sometimes a chief engineer could be sick or unavailable. And this is just a comment.
Mr. Chairman,
would you want to comment on that?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, this is Tom again. I had referred to something similar to this a little earlier in the meeting, but under agency law, and there is a statute that covers it as well, if public official or a state official has the power to do something, he also has the power to delegate that to his subordinates. And in this case, so we don't need to restate or his designee or his authorized agent. And that's why this was taken out. The chief engineer would be able to delegate these duties to someone under him.
And then at
so
the,
what you're we, what you're saying then, Tom, is that that's actually covered in another area?
Right. It's covered. It's covered by agency law, both case law and also some statutory provisions in South Dakota law.
Okay. Thank
Mr.
you,
Mr. Chairman.
I'm
Representative
sure everybody
Gibson.
Read every single bit of this bill.
Senator Bradford, does that answer your question?
Yes, it did. I'm sure I missed some other things in this long bill. But.
Somebody else asking for the floor?
Yes, Representative or Senator Hansen. It's Representative Gibson.
Go ahead.
Mr. Megadance, does it also include in the case law or in the authorizing law that the chief engineer is incapacitated? That someone else will be designated?
I didn't have nothing important. I was going to visit.
Yeah. The agency law, I don't think, deals with that, but we do have the statutes that create the head of the department who supervises the chief engineer and so on, and I think that there are ways that kind of delegation of authority could be handled. Yeah, I don't think that taking out his authorized agents would apply in this case.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions of Mr. Megadance or of Secretary Perner?
About the changes, Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Because we will have time for comments or questions regarding the entire statute later, won't we?
That is correct. We'll have a regular committee discussion, and I guess, but you know, I want you to be comfortable with having a fairly good understanding of the changes that are made here, and if there's anything that you question of Mr. Megadance, why now would be an excellent time to do that.
Thanks for calling.
Well, hearing nothing, I believe that we're ready to move into committee discussion or action.
Senator Hansen?
Yes.
This is Aaron. I would just like to make a couple comments, maybe if I might, about the committee sponsorship of this type of legislation. Typically in the summer studies, what we normally do is if a member votes aye on the final bill, basically the motion would be to recommend that this be a committee bill and pre-filed into the next legislative session. And in order to, rather than sending out a sponsor sheet like we normally do during session, what we typically do is just say, if you vote aye on the bill, you're a sponsor. Obviously, we have up until the pre-file date to modify that. And if you vote nay on the bill, then you know your name would be left off as a sponsor. Is that the way you want to proceed with this again this year, or do you have some other ideas?
Thank you, Ernie. Yes, that's the way I want to proceed on it. And I guess one other thing that we should mention, although it's probably just either the bill will basically be accepted by everybody, but it does need 7 yes votes in order to be passed to come out of this committee. It's a majority of the total membership of the committee.
Correct.
Okay, are we ready to move forward with our committee discussion? Or if you have all your questions answered, I guess we would accept a motion also.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes?
That's Representative Gibson.
Go ahead.
And my questions here will probably be directed at Secretary Perner or the attorney for DENR.
You may go ahead.
Okay, Secretary Perner, is there a major problem with compliance with these statutes regarding the irrigation districts in the state of South Dakota? I noticed there's a tremendous
Senator Frank.
In this bill regarding our irrigation districts in the state of South Dakota, could you just comment on that, the series of statutes in this bill?
Mr. Chairman, this is Steve Perner, Secretary of the Department of Environment and Natural Resources.
Yes, Mr. Secretary, go ahead.
No, we don't really have any issues with the irrigation statutes, at least that we're aware of. I don't think there's, you know, as many irrigation districts formed now as what there used to be a long time ago when it was more, when irrigation, I think, was more going on. But as far as I know, we really don't have any issues with the current statutes and or with the revisions that have been proposed.
Okay, follow-up question, Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
And another question that I have regarding these statutes, what areas of abuse of the water and air standards are the major problem in South Dakota? And with these statutes, do they give enough teeth? Department is able to enforce compliance of these statutes?
Mr. Chairman, this
is... Go ahead, Mr. Secretary.
This is Steve Perner again. With the water and the air statutes, both of those, I think, that you're referring to require different kinds of permits for different activities. Our compliance rates in this state are actually very high. I think during the first meeting you heard some presentations by our folks that were talking about compliance rates in excess of 90%, 95%, and so on. If we do have issues where there is some noncompliance, the department has various means to follow up. And that was, I think, covered previously. But for example, we offer technical assistance to try to help people understand what they need to do and different options for returning to compliance. We've got warning letters. We've got notices of violations. There are even civil penalties. So all of that is already in the statutes. Those have been very effective tools for us to work with people to make sure that we maintain those high compliance rates with our air and our water standards.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Perner. And one last follow-up question, if I may, Mr. Chairman. Are the January 1st, 2011 Federal Water and Air Pollution Standard Acts on file with the Legislative Research Council so I could go in and see what they say?
Mr. Chairman, this is Tom. What we normally do when we revise that date, we can't put it off into something in the future because we don't theoretically know what Congress is going to do. But we amend these to a recent date in the past. Now, that's not to say that these federal acts have actually been amended. Maybe they haven't, maybe they have. But we're saying as they may have been amended up to January 1st, 2011, which by the time we have session will be a date in the past. So the dates that we put here are just to cover in case it's been amended recently.
Thank you. No further questions from me. Thank you.
Hoffman requests a quick input into this.
Hoffman,
thank you. I do believe that in the past year there has been an irrigation issue that came before the DNR board, and I can honestly say that I learned an enormous amount from the testimony, and there were attorneys present, and one side was fighting for closure of the irrigation wells, and the science that was portrayed by the DNR staff was amazing in its depth, and at the end of the day, the opposition to these wells being carried out and put in and expanded, actually, they could not prove that their cone of depression was at all affecting the neighbor's water levels in his yard, and they were granted. And I was in total agreement with that. But I can say that it's amazing the amount of science that goes into the research of all these. And I think Senator Klucek and Representative Thornton and I were all very pleased with the outcome of that. And I think it's we're being taken very, very good care of. I can't speak for pollution controls. There was another case where there were some lake owners in southeast South Dakota that wanted to permit the Big Sioux to flow into their lake, which would have drastically increased the amount of residue in that lake and algae, and that was not permitted. So we've got a good board, and I think the laws in this state are very adequate for what we're doing today. Thank you. That's all I have.
Chair would just make a comment to remind the members of the committee that the intent of this bill is not to change any policy that is absolutely essential that we not be changing any policy. And this is just style and form changes, and hopefully if we agree that there is nothing more than style and form, the statute as it exists, we're dealing with current law. Now, as you read through the 220 pages, I'm sure that you came upon some things that you thought maybe you'd like to see done differently. And if that be the case, then the course of action is to introduce legislation to change, modify, repeal, whatever. But that is not an appropriate action in a style and form change that we're looking at here. So bear in mind that we're just dealing with current law, maintaining it as current law, and we just want the wording to be more easily read, and all of the reasons that have been stated previously as to our objective. So further comments.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Senator Larry Roden, well, I just wanted to piggyback on what you just reminded the committee and to clarify, you know, it's very important that these interim committees have the ability, or any committee for that matter, to bring forward these style and form changes and, to build the confidence in the legislative body that when a bill is brought forward as a style and form change, indeed that is what it is. And so that's the reason for the importance that we are extremely cautious as far as doing anything that could be construed as a policy change within, and then call it a style and form change, because we would really throw a monkey wrench in the process if we don't.
Thank you, Senator.
Senator Klocek?
Senator.
Yes, just apologize for the disconnect when the call waiting comes in. Well, anyway, I had a question for Tom Meganam.
Okay, state your question.
Tom, the shall to may again, that last change you made, you're absolutely sure that doesn't weaken the provisions in the statutes and language on that particular change?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, Senator Klocek, it's our grafting policy here that we don't use a negative with shall, and we believe that it's a stronger prohibition if you say may not rather than shall not, and so we make those changes whenever we come
across. And for clarification, that was shall not and may not, not shall and may, right? That change?
See, what page are you on there?
The last one you just changed, that was 141, or was it before that? The last one where you had missed it earlier and you changed it. I just want to make sure that shall not and may not, not
yeah.
shall and may.
On page 145 might be the one you're talking about.
That's the one, yep.
The current statute says, it's page 145, line 8, pick it up halfway through the sentence. The current statute says, the Board of Directors shall order that the petition be denied and shall proceed no further in the matter. We would like to change it to say, may proceed no further in the matter. And we feel that that's a strong prohibition and that it does not weaken it at all.
Okay. Well, you know my concerns about that
yeah.
kind of change, but anyway, I just wanted to do that for the committee. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the Oversight Committee.
Thank you, Senator. Further comments?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes?
This is Joe, staff attorney with DENR. Just a quick comment in response to Representative Gibson. You know, much like the South Dakota codified laws, the current versions are all available on the web. The U.S. Government Printing Office has current editions of all the federal laws available on the web, and of course they are voluminous, and I know that not everyone has access to the internet, but just as your LRC is making the South Dakota codified laws available to the public through the internet has really made law a lot more accessible, the U.S. Government Printing Office does the same, and so all those current federal laws are easily available through the internet.
Thank you.
Anything further?
Yeah. They're in the chicken coop on that.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
West Park.
Senator Bradford, in, as I sit here, I reread some of this thing that is pertinent to some places or towns or and municipalities in my district, and I know that come time for legislature, I will have some more questions because it's almost impossible to fully go through all the changes that have been done, and I understand that their style and form, but sometimes that can be a little confusing, and especially to those people out there that have to deal with the new sewage and new communities being housing communities being built next to these municipalities. And I know there's a lot of things in here that pertain to that. So I'm going to be for this, but I'm sure I'll have many, many questions when it comes to the actual passing of the bill.
Thank you, Senator, and that's a good point because, and I'll just, again, to a little bit of review, assuming that this committee votes to move this style and form bill forward, it will be heard before a committee, and there will be, you know, public testimony. Every opportunity will be provided to this bill, as with any other bill. So there will be plenty of opportunity to be able to make comments and voice objections if need be. So it can be amended. It can be lots of things can happen to it, and its passage through the system.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Gibson, one more question.
Yes, ma'am.
The changes that were made today, will they be sent to us email in written form so that I can, because I missed a couple of them, there was some noise and I didn't hear a couple of those changes that Mr. Megadance made today prior to this hearing, and will they be coming either in draft form or on the email so that I can verify my changes that were just made this morning?
Mr. Chairman, this is Tom. I think what I could do is put those in the, not as a new bill draft, but put them in the form of an email on an email with page and line numbers so that you could see where we made the changes to the October 1st draft, and I would also forward that to department so that they can verify it as well. Because as I said, this last group of changes were done fairly quickly, but I think that would be a way to handle that.
I made all the changes prior to with the October 13th memo, and so they made sense. But today's changes there were a few too many to for me to read it into form and substance and make perfect sense of it. So that would be helpful for me. Thank you.
Yeah, we can do that the same way that we did the previous October 13th email.
Okay, that would be fine. Thank you.
And if I
if I may, it would not be too long until the final draft of the bill with all those changes would also be available. But I agree that having summarization of these specific changes so you can go into the bill and zero in on those is a good move. Okay. Further comments? Everyone to feel comfortable with the idea that that we're not changing any policy on existing statutes. If we're getting to the point of where there's no further questions or comments, a motion for action would also be appropriate.
This is Representative Larry Lucas. I would move that we take final action by adopting the file cleanup for the DENR bill.
Senator Roden, second.
Okay, we have a motion. We have a second. Are there any further comments to that motion? Hearing none,
Tom, the only one I would have is I would ask if Tom could send us maybe a bill brief or something in regards to help us explain this to our caucuses once this is adopted and goes forward in the legislation.
That will be done. I want all of the members of the committee to be at least able to talk about this bill. Not necessarily to be able to go into any one of the sections in an in-depth discussion, but to be familiar with what it is that's been done or will have been done, and I'll be in position not only to explain it to your caucus, but to your constituents, some who happen to live in, for example, an irrigation district. There's a portion of the bill that you have had an opportunity to become a little bit more familiar with than what you maybe were even before. Good comment. Any other speaking to the motion? We have a motion by Representative Lucas, seconded by Senator Roden to carry this bill forward as a bill from this committee that will be brought forward to the legislature. I will ask the secretary to call the roll call the roll.
Representative Bruner.
Aye.
Representative Ferrix. Representative Gibson.
Aye.
Representative Hoffman.
Aye.
Representative Lucas.
Aye.
Representative Shrimp.
Aye.
Representative Tiedemann.
Aye.
Senator Bradford.
Aye.
Senator Frisley.
Aye.
Senator Klocek? Senator Klocek, was that a yes or a no?
Yep.
Senator Klocek, did you answer yes or no? Senator Roden?
Aye.
Representative Bannerman?
Aye.
Senator Hansen?
Aye.
Representative Ferrix? Representative Ferrix? Senator Klocek? Senator Klocek? Aye. 11 yeas, 2 excused.
Okay, the motion carries. Is there any further business to be brought before the committee at this date?
Senator Hansen. Mr. Chairman, we have any idea where this bill would go?
I guess I would say not for sure.
Senator Klocek votes yes. I'm sorry.
Senator Hansen?
Yes.
This is Senator Roden. I would respond just by saying that as the chair of the Ag Committee, Ag and Natural Resources would be probably the obvious location for this bill to end, since we have purview. Most of the department DNR bills go through the Ag Committee. Obviously, the you know, it'll be assigned by the Speaker of the House and the President Pro Tem, but I would venture to guess that there would be no reason they'd put it to any other committee other than the Ag Committee.
I would agree. As being a member of the Ag Committee also, I would see no real reason to go any place else. And I believe that this will become brought forward as a Senate bill, won't it?
Well, that'll be totally up to you as the chairman and the vice chair. I believe it's certainly up to the committee also.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Senator Klocek votes yes. Somehow the mute button got pushed on, but I would wish to make sure that my vote was recorded as a yes vote.
I will accept that.
We're having some phone difficulties this morning.
Yeah, I understand, and it'll be nice to have you included as one of the co-sponsors. So,
thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Chairman, this is Lisa. I changed the record to show that there are 12 yays and one excused.
Good. Thank you, Lisa. And I will plan to move this forward as a Senate bill unless there's an objection. Any other business to be brought before us?
Senator Hansen, this is Aaron.
Yes, Aaron.
In an earlier memo, I sent out a draft final report of the first two meetings up to that point. You should all have a copy of that. The last piece in the final report would just be if there are any recommendations that you would have to the department about anything that you've dealt with this summer. And finally, what has been done in the past, and I'm not trying to be presumptuous here, but typically summer study committees have adopted a motion to either sunset or not sunset the department so that it is in the final record. Just a couple of ideas to put out there.
Thank you, Aaron. And I think that last comment really is somewhat of a formality, but it is important that we I don't want to put words in anyone's mouth, but do not plan to sunset or eliminate the Department of Environment and Natural Resources. So a motion to that effect would be...
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Senator Klocek, I so move.
Okay, a motion by Senator Klocek to not sunset the Department of DENR. Is there a second?
I second, Senator Bradford.
Thank you, Senator Bradford. Any comments, any speaking to the motion? If not, I believe that this should be a roll call vote also, so Secretary Coleman, roll.
Representative Bruner? Representative Frerix?
Aye.
What's that for? Okay. Representative Gibson?
Aye.
Representative Hoffman?
Aye.
Representative Lucas?
Aye.
Representative Shrimp?
Aye.
Representative Tiedemann?
Aye.
Senator Bradford?
Aye.
Senator Frisley?
Aye.
Senator Klocek?
Aye.
Senator Roden?
Aye.
Representative Vandeman?
Aye.
Senator Hansen?
Aye.
Representative Bruner?
Representative
12 yeas, one excused.
Okay, the motion carries.
Chairman Hansen?
Yes.
This is Jason Ferricks. I couldn't get my mute off earlier, so please, if you would allow me to cast an aye vote on that earlier motion on the total bill to accept it with a recommendation.
I will allow that.
Thank you.
you make that change, Lisa?
Yes, I have the record showing that there are 13 yeas.
Good. Thank you. Anything further? If not, motion to adjourn, I believe, is appropriate.
Hoffman makes that motion to adjourn, and thank you very much, Senator.
Gibson, second.
Okay, moved by Hoffman, seconded by Gibson. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We're adjourned. Thank you all. Thank you very much for participating in this matter. It was
thank you, Senator.
Effective. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you, Senator Hanson.
Good luck, everyone in the races this fall.